The following broadcast is brought to you by Sons of God International and Freedom Fellowship Church. Hello, and welcome to the prophetic voice of our time, where we focus on the voice of prophecy, which is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Our host, Christina Sasso, is a senior pastor at Freedom Fellowship Church. Let's hear what she has to say to the body of Christ.
Hello, and welcome to the prophetic voice of our time. I am Paula Nations. If we were to title today's message, it might be called, Be Encouraged, Don't Wiggle, Don't Turn Back. Or it might be called, Be Encouraged, Stand Still, Don't Go Back. No matter the title of the message is the same. Encourage yourself in the truth. Let go of the past. Allow God to work. Move forward. We begin today's lesson in Philippians. Philippians 1, 6 and 9 through 11. Paul writes, For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work among you will complete it by the day of Christ Jesus. And this I pray, that your love may overflow still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may discover the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and blameless for the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ. The work Paul is writing about is a spiritual work, a spiritual principle, a kingdom principle of growth and maturity. This is the work that God has orchestrated and Holy Spirit has begun in us. It is your destiny to live your life out of the abundance of this completed work. Mature with real knowledge and discernment. Understand that your destiny is directly connected to the maturing of your identity. Mature in your identity and mature into your destiny. They are connected. Right here, everyone is excited, saying, oh yes, amen, amen. Everyone is so excited right here. Right here in this excitement, however, there is a disconnect. Some in the body have a notion that maturing is a matter of time, sitting back and letting God do this good work. Well, that is only partially correct. That means it is totally incorrect. God directs. God orchestrates this work, but he does not do the work. The Holy Spirit empowers, but the Holy Spirit does not do the work. Have you ever considered why Paul would write such a thing where he says, I am confident that he who began the work will complete it? Why would he write this unless there was some question, some pressure, some pushback that would bring doubt that would arise in the process? Have you ever done home renovation? Well, I can tell you from experience that renovation projects cost more than you figured, take longer than you thought, and are dirtier than you ever imagined. I believe that this is what Paul was addressing. It's what I call renovation syndrome. It is that question, that mentality of, are we done yet? Is the renovation completed? Is the work done? Paul said, be encouraged. The work that has started in you will bring you to a place of maturity, a place of real knowledge and discernment. Today, work is a four-letter word. I have met those who seem to have an allergy to work. The thought of any serious work makes them break out in a cold sweat and hives. They go to great lengths to avoid this four-letter word. And so it is with some brothers and sisters in Christ. They have little understanding or appreciation of work, specifically the work that Paul writes about here in Philippians. They do not comprehend the spiritual work of maturing. Maturing that brings about knowledge and discernment. Maturing that's God's plan of work that brings them to a place of total maturity. Again, this work is a spiritual work. It is a spiritual principle of the kingdom that produces growth and maturity. To help us understand kingdom principles, Jesus would draw parallels between everyday life situations and kingdom truths. The picture Jesus uses to teach this kingdom principle of work that God is doing in us is found in John 15, 1 through 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, you must remain in the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown away like a branch and dries up, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. The Father is the vine dresser, the pruner. He is pruning the vines that are growing out of the true vine, Jesus. The Father decides what is pruned. The Father as the vine dresser makes the decision. And here is where we want to spend a moment. Remember, Paul said he will complete the work of pruning, the work required to bring greater and greater fruitfulness, which is connected to discernment, knowledge, and maturity. This pruning is directed by God and is a good work. But let's take a closer look at this, as many do not understand what this pruning looks like in our lives today, and they do not know or comprehend what is happening when God is pruning. Pruning by its very nature is a cutting away. It is a break, a separation between the main plant, vine, or tree, and the branch. To the one who is pruning, they see the branch being pruned as taxing or using resources that the vine, plant, or tree could use to produce fruit. Pruning is a common practice by orchardists, arborists, vintners, and others. Branches are removed so that the nutrition that the branch used can go into the production of apples, oranges, grapes, or even tomatoes. So for us, when we are pruned, there will be a cutting away, a change, and sometimes it is a change that we do not welcome. A cutting away can be a job or a shift in a career path. A cutting away can be in the area of relationships. A cutting away can be in the area of priority, how we spend our time or our money. A cutting away can present itself as being boxed in and having no choice, but only one way, for all other options are cut off. A cutting away can be aimed at challenging cherished ideas and traditions. A cutting away can be aimed at the underpinnings of your life's organization and order. In the process of pruning, it is important that you are aware of the process so you may embrace the changes and not fight against them. Pruning is the place where heaven's plans and our agenda collide. Pruning to the immature seems like a problem or trouble, perceived as events from the devil or an attack from the enemy. In which case, the stance then becomes one of defense, hindering the pruning process, a response that garners all forces to defend the assets, the investment of time in the heart, to close the gates to the character and the foundation of the personality, hindering pruning and the maturing process. Let's compare the pruning to an attack from the enemy. The enemy can never be anything short than the enemy, with a purpose to kill, steal, and destroy. Some things to consider. Will the end result of these events be destruction? Will it be? Or will it be loss? Or will it be death? If the answer given to us in Scripture is no, then the end result is greater fruitfulness. So let's compare the pruning to an attack from the enemy. The enemy can never be anything short than what the enemy is. The enemy, with a purpose to kill, steal, and destroy. Some things to consider. Will the end result of these events be destruction? Will it be loss? Will it be death? And the answer given to us in Scripture is no. The end result of pruning is greater fruitfulness. Another consideration that Scripture tells us is to resist the devil and he will flee. To stand in the name of Jesus and in the blood and the love of Jesus, in the truth of Jesus. Stand. Don't try to figure it out or manipulate it. Stand and watch. This can give an indication of the event's origin. If it is from the devil or if it is pruning. Resist the devil and he will flee. Pruning prunes the flesh to produce life. So you can ask, if what is being cut away really only hurts my flesh, it doesn't destroy my life. But it may feel uncomfortable and goes against our plans and interrupts our agendas. This is where brothers and sisters confuse pruning with an attack. Pruning challenges the flesh, and the flesh feels uncomfortable, uneasy, unsettled. This is where the child of God grabs onto the word, the promise, and determines to stand and not move. This is the place where the child of God asks the Holy Spirit for wisdom as to how they should respond in this situation. What should they do when they are feeling pressure, when they are feeling pain, or when they are feeling overwhelmed? What a child of God does not do is to take matters into their own hands and apply their own understanding. This self-directed response action short circuits, derails the pruning. This action from a human standpoint, which may be very logical and seem very reasonable, it may even seem humanly brilliant. In fact, this self-directed response action is of itself an indicator that pruning is desperately needed in one's life. Remember, pruning is the cutting away of the flesh to produce fruits of life. Some of the self-directed responses are running, hiding, busyness, anger, perceived loss, avoidance, blame, lack of integrity, lack of honesty, manipulation, going back to old patterns and habits, seeking comfort and convenience, and looking for the familiar. It is important to have an awareness of the pruning process. If we perceive we are being pruned, what then should our response be? Remember, pruning is the cutting away of the flesh to make room for a more fruitful life. Let us also remember, pruning is a form of discipline. Father disciplines those he loves. That fact that pruning is an act of love, that fact alone can ease the tension, the discomfort, and the potential sense of loss. To allow love and trust to anchor us and just allow God to love on us and then relax. Don't fight it. Open our heart and let God be God in our heart. Sit in the peace and the joy of his presence. Gain strength and resolve from his love and joy. Resolve and let go. That should be our response. Let go. Allow for the change. Take the time to sit, to be still, to be in his presence. These things are totally opposite to what the flesh wants. The flesh will tell you that you must act, you must do, you must have a plan, you got to do it now, hurry up. The flesh will also tell you to do things to help you feel better. These are warning flags. These thoughts are rooted in the flesh. We may run, or we may hide because of this change or the newness, or we may run or we may hide because our sense of security is shaken. But as brothers and sisters, as children of God, we run and hide into the arms of Jesus, throwing ourselves into his arms and cry, help! We run to our daddy God and say, cry, help me! And right there, pause and allow him to respond. Determine not to wiggle away from this, to create your own plan to feel better, or to create a plan that would cause compromise. All self-directed actions hinder this process and derail this process. You can cry out, help me, for this feels so overwhelming and so unsettling and so painful. God will not deny our emotions, nor will he make fun of the intensity with which we experience emotions. He wants you to turn to him and look to him for the answer to the situation and the resolution of the emotions that rage inside of us. Don't exclude him from or deny him from your emotions. You cannot correctly carry them yourself anyways. Holy Spirit must come and bring truth and wisdom concerning how we are to feel. He brings comfort in the truth and wisdom, and he brings us peace and rest. Hebrews tells us that Jesus endured the cross because of the joy that was ahead. Hebrews 12:1-2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Philippians 3, 13 and 14 say, "Brothers and sisters, I do not regard myself as having taken a hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." In these scriptures, we see the pattern with which we are to conduct ourselves. We are to throw off. We are to forget. We are to focus on what we are called to, not where we are. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 gives us the pattern. Verse 1 shows us the problem. There will be hindrances and sin that tries to entangle us. That is the flesh. That is the natural condition. Verse 2 tells us what Jesus did in this situation that parallels ours. He looked to the goal, to the joy that was ahead. That is what Philippians tells us. Look towards the goal and move towards the goal. Change your focus. We let go. Let go. Don't fight it. Don't wiggle out of it. Don't manage it. Don't manipulate it. Don't try to justify your position, but just let go. Let go and let God love on you. Let his love wash over you and fill you with his joy and his wisdom. That is so much more productive than being pruned with clenched fist. It is the joy of the maturing, the trust and the love in the letting go. It produces intimacy. You get to know God on a deeper level in ways you could have never known him before because something was restricting, something was hindering that intimacy. This restriction that hinders intimacy hinders pruning. It undermines us and does not allow us to be still in the process. What undermines us is the flesh. The flesh determines for action. The flesh determines for attention. The flesh determines for comfort. Have you ever considered that the willingness to submit to pruning like following a simple instruction, like be quiet, don't give your opinion, is actually the road to maturity and promotion? It is a place of testing, teaching, and the cutting away of your self-flesh so you can be trusted with greater and greater instruction. Scripture calls this riches. If we truly understood pruning and the impact of pruning in our lives, we would line up before a father and say, "Me, me, hey, don't forget me, don't forget me. I'm here, God, prune away." Because we would have grasped the truth of pruning. We understand that pruning the flesh is a process of cutting away that gives us an opportunity to know God more, which leads us to a deeper life with him and greater fruitfulness. But why don't we line up to be pruned? Because our minds and our hearts don't understand. The misconception of God and who he is, and hence how we relate to him, allows the flesh to grow and produce a crop of insecurity, of greed, of jealousy, of compromise, none of which sustains us during the pruning process. Remember, pruning produces more life. Let's look at the heart condition that resists pruning. A common heart teaching is demonstrated on how we see God and how we relate to him. It is rooted in a heart condition that is a result of a heart's training. Many of us were taught that we owe God because of the sacrifice of Jesus, because of the gift of salvation. We owe God, and we are indebted to him. My dear listener, Jesus freely gave his life. Salvation is a free gift, so we do not owe anything. We are under no obligation to God for anything. For all we have and all that has been given to us has been given to us freely as a gift. But this teaching of obligation is a teaching that is widespread and requires us to relate to God in a way of obligation. So we have a heart set that we must do, constantly do. We have a heart set that we must constantly act, and that if we do not meet the requirements, if we fall short, we are then condemned. Having a relationship with God based in obligation brings us insecurity. It brings us to a place where we cannot rest and relax. It brings us to a place of competition and jealousy. It brings us to a place that is vulnerable to the whispers of the enemy, a place of doubt and compromise, a place where peace and joy and trust and love do not grow. This is a terrible place to be, a place of struggle and striving and fear, a fear of never having met the obligation. Therefore, it is not surprising why pruning would be resisted. These principles and precepts of obligation do not pass the Jesus test, which is, do these principles and precepts produce life? And the answer is no. Our relationship with God is not one of obligation, but one of devotion. So God challenges our hearts, beliefs, and will prune away the lies. We are devoted to Him because we love Him. We serve Him because we love Him. We act and do because we love Him. The issue that we have no love of our own and our hearts are not about love, so we have no love to give. But that has been remedied. Because God loves us, He first gives us love, so we can then be equipped to love Him in return. Because of His great love, we too can love. We open our hearts, meditating on His huge, vast love for us, and rest in the truth of His love. This is foundational. Allow the Holy Spirit to lead you and to guide you into a love relationship, a relationship of basking in the luxurious love of God. And then your response is one of love and devotion. You are then loving God with all your heart, and you will no longer relate to Him from a place of obligation, but of love and devotion. And from this love, there is an outflow of love in all other areas of your life. Psalm 139:17 says, "How precious are your thoughts of me, and how vast is the sum of them." This isn't about God's thoughts in general. This is a very specific thought that He has thoughts about you and that you are precious to Him. And He thinks about this so continually that His thoughts cannot be counted. In other words, you are always on His mind. God is lovingly thinking of you. God's love is enormous for you and is rooted in your heart. When that happens, it changes everything. Then when pruning comes, you are confident through the process. It may challenge the flesh. It may be uncomfortable, but you can know that you are at peace, for Father God loves you and only ever has good things planned for you. If God's eternal love is rooted in your heart, you can open your heart to Him and His love will be refreshed and strengthened in you. You don't need to try. You don't need to struggle. That is the love of God. If the truth of God's love is rooted in your heart, you can sing even if a tear slips down your face. Don't fight the pruning. Let God love on you through the process and remind yourself to let go of the past and focus on what His promise is to you. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Walk as Jesus did in Hebrews 12. He was looking ahead to the joy, so we can look ahead to the joy, confident in God's love to us, through us, through the process. Thank you for listening today. Nothing we say or do can separate us from the love of God. God's love is free without condition. It is unconditional. It is eternal. It is unending. God loves you, and His love for you is endless, boundless, and without condition. May God bless you and make His face to shine upon you and give you peace. Thank you for tuning in today. You have been listening to the prophetic voice of our time. Until next time, rest in His love.
Thanks for tuning in. You've been listening to the prophetic voice of our time. We really hope you were blessed by today's episode. And if you were, we want to hear from you. You can call us at 210-695-1630. Or you can email us at sogmi@outlook.com. That's SOGMI@outlook.com. And we really encourage you to visit our website, sogmi.org. That is S-O-G-M-I.org. That's where you can listen to previous episodes of this podcast and even support this broadcast. We're supported by listeners just like you. So if you want to support this ministry, you can go to sogmi.org and hit the donate button. You can also send a check to P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023. Again, that is P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023.